Is the new normal the old normal, or is it vice versa?
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for August 12th, 2019. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
Thank you, Janine Fadich, and thank you all for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. Kind of close on the heels of the last one, we're going to get back into the grind eventually, I promise. We will. I'm going to come out with a statement that everyone can agree on. You ready?
Good luck.
You sitting down?
Yep,
I'm ready. You may want to stand for this. Okay, you standing up?
Yes.
Okay, you may want to sit down for this, because here it comes. Moving sucks.
Yes, I guess everyone could agree with that.
I know you could. We're going through boxes. We're settling in and all that stuff. But man, oh man, it's terrible. It's no fun at all.
Now we have too much stuff. We got rid of a lot of stuff, and we still have too much.
I know. I got rid of a ton of stuff. When we came back, I came back and got rid of a bunch of stuff. And so, but I still have so much stuff.
Stuff.
A lot of stuff in this life. So, this week's Prickly City, I start the week by saying I want the old normal. And the argument that Winslow makes, and he's right, is that the old normal was no better than the new normal. We were talking the other day, and you said something very interesting. You said what may have been good times for one group of people may not have been so good for others.
Right. That's how it always is. I mean, it may be nice if you were, you know, a white male, but not so good if you're African American or Hispanic or female.
I would challenge you to be Chinese in 19th century America. That's a fascinating bit of history, though, and I'll share it with you and the rest of our listeners.
Okay.
The photograph of the gold spike being driven when they had, you know, the Intercontinental Railroad was coupled together.
Right.
Almost 10,000, I think the number is 10,000 Chinese workers died building that thing. There is not one Asian face in that photograph.
Jeez.
So basically,
people have always sucked.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, always.
Moving and people.
Some more than others. Some moves more sucky than others. Some people more sucky than others. So we had some comments on that series.
Right, on division. Cal says, division between the two parties has been the norm since 1981. In the past 38 years, one side or the other had total control of the government for only 10 years. Neither Republicans nor Democrats have held a decisive advantage over the other. Rather, temporary unity in government has quickly transformed into divided control again and again. This is what I was talking about. The R's and the D's are fighting each other and denying responsibility for the results. It is nothing but a continuous power struggle. It is not a government for the people.
I think that's probably true. I'm not sure how we kind of stumbled into that, although I'm not a big fan of one-party control of anything. I mean, I live in Illinois. You know, one party runs that state. You know, the National Democrats are, well, the Republicans are gerrymandering. And it's, well, the Democrats are doing the same thing when they control the state.
Whoever's in control is going to be doing it because.
Right. So we're like when I was growing up as a kid, the Democrats ran a lot of stuff. They had, I forget what the numbers were, it was like 60, 65 seats in the Senate. So they ran that. They always ran the House. You had different kinds of Democrats and you had a much broader umbrella back then. But it's still, you know, one party rule. So is it good that we kind of ping pong back and forth? It'd be okay if we were all going for the same thing. But what happens, as we're seeing now, is one person comes in, tries to wipe out what the other people did. And then when the other people take over again, they try to wipe out what those people did.
It's very complicated and confusing and nothing gets done.
Right. So what other comments do we have?
Well, Cheapskate Zero said divided government did work once upon a time when parties were willing to work together across the aisle, seeking the common good. But that all went the way of the newt.
I think that's untrue. I think what happened was in the 60s, occasionally 60s, 50s, whatever, you had Republicans in the White House. And you had Democrats controlling the legislative agenda. So that agenda really never really deviated much. Republicans took over for a short period of time in the 40s, but for the most part, from the time of FDR's landslide win in the early 30s, you had one party rule for until the, gee whiz, I think it was the 80s, so 60 years virtually of one party rule of the legislature. So yeah, did it seem like things were going along just swimmingly? Yeah, and you didn't have a strongly conservative Republican. You had Eisenhower, you had Nixon, you had Ford. So you didn't really have anyone until Ronald Reagan really stepped forward. Now, is this a fault thing? It's not. It's just that's what fate had in store for the country at the time.
Street Beater says, "Hey, Scott, you ready to name some names or are you chicken? Let's start with the party that intentionally and unilaterally subverted the Constitution by refusing to hold constitutionally mandated hearings on a Supreme Court justice."
I hate this, but I hate the whataboutes. It makes me crazy. I've talked about it on the podcast before and other media. This happened, but what about blah, 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 and Obama, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, you know what? Guess what? When it happened on the other side, did it. For instance, the Democrats withheld many, many judicial appointments by George W. Bush and George H.W. Bush. Was that right? Hell no. It was just wrong.
Right, because the president is supposed to make those appointments, whether he will be president 6 months from now or 3 months from now or not. They're president right now.
Right. And then with the Obama appointment of, and I forget the name, I apologize.
Garland.
Let's just...
Merrick Garland. Garland or Garland?
Merrick Garland. Let's say Merrick Garland. Anyway, with that...
It was like a very reasonable choice.
It was a reasonable choice, left of center, of course, because that's the president. But this was also more than a year out from the election. So, you know, I think if you have, let's say, 3 months to go, then yeah, you can run out the clock. And also the fact that Mitch McConnell did it with this giggly, smirky, turtle face of his. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of the current Republican crew, and so we can go forward and talk about that later in the week. Carmen asks herself if she is indeed a Republican. And obviously, this is an internal debate I'm having with myself. I'm conservative. I will always be a libertarian/conservative. I believe in less government, lower taxes, personal individual freedoms. So, you know, I don't think this Republican Party reflects that short list I just mentioned. So, I'm having a lot of struggle, especially with this election. If the Republican Party is becoming effectively the party of Trump or Trumpisms or whatever you want to call it, then I have a serious problem with being a member of that party. And people apparently went bananas.
Well, Cheapskate Zero again.
I like Cheapskate Zero.
Stantis claims to be anti-Trump, and I tend to believe him. The main problem, as we see in his strips, no matter how bad Trump is, he still considers any and all Democrats as far worse, which is how he, too, becomes a Trump enabler.
I don't think I say that it's far worse. I think I disagree with him, and I think I always will. I don't believe in state solutions to problems. They just rarely work, and just over and over, that would be a very long podcast if I went through that and enumerated the number of times that government assistance hasn't worked. There are times when it does. The highway system, great example. Social Security, you know, they kind of forgot that. What if one generation, mine and yours, Jeanine,
yes,
decides to get old, and we've made that decision, and the next generation is far smaller. You know, how do you balance that book? Would it have worked better if you'd had, you could have had for poorer people, yes, for people with less means, but you could also have had tax deductible, like IRAs and stuff like that, and expanded those programs so that...
Also, you can make it so that not everybody has to take Social Security.
I know, it's weird.
If you're wealthy and you say, I don't need it, or you just shouldn't even, I guess because you consider it yours, but you can't even turn it down.
Yeah, which is weird, isn't it?
Right.
I mean,
because Bill Gates will not need Social Security.
I'm guessing he won't. I'm guessing you're right. So what other comment? Let's get to the comments, because I know there's a lot of them.
So Street Beater says...
In fact, there are so many that you just kind of... You gave me the...
Well, there was a lot of comments on everything. Very interesting, but too much to put in the... And also frustrating.
Why frustrating?
Well, because it's just so much division as what we're talking about. And sometimes it's just like, oh, God.
Okay, well, give us some examples. And
Street Beater, we're going on to this one. Street Beater says, I think that Stantis has traditionally been a Republican supporter, is that he identifies as a libertarian. My problem with libertarianism is that it relies on ethics and honesty to succeed, and we know that these qualities are in short supply among those that would aspire to lead us.
That is brilliant. Who said this?
Street Beater. And if taken to the extreme, libertarianism leads to either anarchy, plutocracy, or oligarchy. Sorry, I'm not pronouncing things well today. Probably an amalgam of the latter two for those of means and the former for the rest of society.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I mean, I don't. Oligarchy, I don't, because oligarchy also implies that the state has stepped in to give unfair advantages, very much like when the Soviet Union fell apart and the oligarchs took advantage of Yeltsin's government and got all the goodies. Got, you know, some guy paid off a bunch of bribes and then got the oil rights in Siberia. Well, that's not how free markets work. It's got to be competitive. It's got to be, and that hence the word free. So yeah, libertarianism doesn't necessarily lead to these things. It does lead to fractionization in terms of, you know, Alabama is going to want to run itself differently than Illinois does, and vice versa. So conversely, but he makes an excellent street beater, makes a the best point I've heard so far, and that's why, and that may explain why I'm having such difficulty with this administration, is that for libertarianism to work, he's absolutely, or she is absolutely right. It relies on honesty and openness.
That's pretty much how anything should work, right? I think that's the problem with socialism. It sounds great in theory, but what happens is that you get these people who take over, people who basically make it so nobody gets anything but them. The leaders get everything, and
right,
the people get nothing.
Right. You know, socialist leaders like the Castro family are billionaires because they've
right.
taken so much away from that small island, that beautiful island. I can't wait for that crew to be thrown out and we can actually explore it and let the potential of the Cuban people blossom, which I think it will. Anyway, what else? I'm sorry, stop it.
HB French 2 says, I think I am the only moderate Republican left alive. I shudder for our world.
You're not. HB French, you're not. There's one other. It's me.
Well, there's others. A lot of them are just being quiet.
I think it's, well, that's the whole point of moderation, is not to be screamy, yelly, this is the my way or the highway. Moderation is a good thing in life. Moderation is a good thing in politics, as far as here are my principles. You don't break your principles. You don't bend your principles. But you can say, okay, my principles are X. They're proposing Y. How can I get halfway between? If I can get halfway between those things, then
yeah,
I'm that much closer. Exactly. And that's where things happen. And so, HB French, you're not alone. You know, I guess I'm a moderate now. And that's weird.
West NYC says, people who believe in science and capitalism do not have a political party to call home now.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, because what we're leading into now is oligarchy, this which is where we're headed now, quite frankly. Friends and family of Donald J. Trump, and they reap the rewards of contracts. And I mean, and it's not just the Trumps, it's the political class. You know, that we've always heard this. In my reading growing up, and especially when I was becoming politically aware of the creation of the political class, that was always the fear. It's a fear of the founding fathers, and I think it's come to fruition. There is one of the squad. I forget the woman from Michigan. I can't remember her name, but her boyfriend, she paid him $150,000 out of her campaign for apparently just for being him. That may be deeper. I haven't followed the story that closely, but that kind of thing happens all the time. Happened in Illinois, like you wouldn't believe. And what we've created is that the amount of money that they're giving to each other that passes back and forth. There's a race now in Chicago in Cook County for Kim Fox, who some of you may be aware of, is the one who was kind of took some phone calls and didn't prosecute Smollett for making up a story that he was beaten up and had a noose put around his neck and all that stuff. The guy who's going to run against, has already raised $500,000.
Wow!
For a county, essentially an attorney general's position for a county. There's something wrong with and broken with our system, and I'm not advocating anything right here because I've never seen. I know this seems like a tangent. I'll finish in a second. I'm sorry, Janine. But in terms of campaign finance reform, I haven't seen one that cuts political mustard. I mean, and constitutional mustard, and neither has the Supreme Court. I suspect there's one out there, or we have to amend the Constitution. But the money in politics now, the money in politics now. I mean, think about this. I mean, no one batted an eye. The last couple of presidential campaigns, $1.5 billion.
And just think of all the things you could actually do to help people with that money.
So there's a lot, number of ways you can go about it with, and I don't know, none of them are conformed to the current Constitution, quite frankly. And so in changing it, it's easy to say. It's very difficult to do. It's also, and it should be difficult to do. It should scare us. If we're going to futz with it, we're going to have to do it for the right reasons and in the right way. Any other comments that you want to? You say we got a lot of them. Let's give one more and then we'll call it a podcast.
Okay, Brain Dead is wondering.
I love Brain Dead's name.
Stantis, are you now having second thoughts about being a member of the Trump Party? Don't feel comfortable with all the other Trump disciples? Not really sure about the treason, the massive corruption, the attacks on the press, and on checks and balances?
Yeah. Okay, maybe we're having.
Okay, but here's we'll end up with this because okay. This is going to. Z Bicalus says we need MANA hats. Make America near normal again.
I will pass it along to our marketing department and see if we can't get that done.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you all. Thank you, Janine.
You're welcome.
And thank you to our wonderful producer Brian Altimer, who takes this stuff and cleans it up and makes us sound semi-professional. Which is nice of him. He's a great guy. Thank you, WGN and WGN Plus, for posting our little podcast here. If you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen and Winslow, we strongly urge you to go to gocomics.com/prickly city. That's gocomics.com/prickly city. And if you haven't signed up already, sign up for free. You can get editorial cartoons, comic strips, I think even puzzles. And they're emailed to you every morning, and I look forward to it. When I get in the morning, I open it up, and of course, first thing I read is Prickly City, because, dang, it's good. Well, yeah, don't forget, I also wrote it 2.5 weeks ago, so there's that. But shut up. I'm saying goodbye. And maybe even leave a comment. And if you do, we might read it here on the podcast. If you want to talk to us and contact us directly, please do so by emailing us at pricklycity@gmail.com. That's pricklycity@gmail.com. For all of us here at Prickly City, I thank you most of all for listening to our podcast and reading the strip. And until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.